Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and I am joined by my award-winning, illustrious co-host, Miss 100%, y'all know her as the Queen of the Little People, so, something like that. Anyway, we want you to holler at us. 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. We want you to go to the Smooth Drama site. We want you to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. I'm Smooth Drama. You add me, I add you back. We can talk a taste on it. On Facebook, Twitter, meet me. I'm down. But I know you ain't really trying to holler at me. As always, I know you're really trying to be a subject of the queen here. So, queen, tell them how they can serve you.
They can serve me by getting on their knees. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
Okay, right.
No, they can contact me, get up with me, hit me up, holler at me, all of that. By following me on Twitter. You follow me, I follow you back at the number 100%. Or friend me on Facebook. You be friendly to me, I'll be friendly to you. That's Miss 100% spelled out. Or if you want to talk a taste on it, email me, miss100% at yahoo.com.
Yeah, and if you really want to be nice, I heard 100 that New York City, they don't make picante sauce there. They 3D penis printouts.
Ooh.
Formed from laser scans. Yeah, it's basically they do a image, laser image of the penis, and then they send the model to New York Toy Collective. And then that's where they use that printout to create a one-of-a-kind dildo, customized.
For my enjoyment.
Yep.
Well, I mean, other people's enjoyment.
Other people's enjoyment, yeah.
Hello, dear.
Yeah. At $250 a pop, though.
$250?
Yeah, so.
Now, I'm just trying to understand this. I got a real live walking talking penis right now, so and I get it for free. So why would I want to pay $250 for a fake one?
Well, first and foremost, there are a lot of women out there who prefer on the low that non-talking penis, even though they say, "Oh no, I'm looking for a man," but every night they spend in quality time with that piece of plastic.
You know what? I mean, it's just sometimes just a little bit of alone time.
Yeah, okay.
To get in touch with and become one with yourself.
That's what they call it now.
It's called me time.
Yeah, okay, me time. Well, hey. That's what Manny Pacquiao got this weekend. He was spending some quality time with Manuel Marquez. And, you know, he kind of got knocked the fuck out.
Wait a minute. How do you get kind of knocked the fuck out? He got knocked the fuck out a little bit.
it was one of them things. It was... You know, like Richard Pryor said, death was quite a surprise to his ass. That knockout was quite a surprise to Manny Pacquiao. He didn't even know what was happening. It was just like he was winning the fight, and then all of a sudden, bam, he was asleep. I mean, and, you know, there's those knockouts where, you know, the dude get knocked down, you know, he'll shiver or something and try to get up and fall down, and then the ref will run over and stop it or count or whatever.
Right.
This one, homie, was just sleep.
Wow.
I mean, he got hit, he fell face first, and was just... and what made it bad, the ref ain't even count or nothing.
He wow. Like,
shit's over.
Oh, wow.
It was like, it's over. That's it.
Wow.
He count nothing. He's like, call a doctor. I mean, he was out for like 2-3 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah, he was gone. It was. I mean, as far as knockouts go, it was pretty fucked up that he got knocked out, but it was beautiful.
A beautiful, horrible knockout.
Yes. Pretty much, yeah. And funny thing is, his mama blamed his loss on him changing his religion.
Really?
Really. Like, because, you know, before, when he was knocking people out, God was with him. And as soon as he changed religion, God wasn't with him no more.
Here we go again with the trying to blame God for everything.
It's like, hey, it's God's fault he got knocked out.
It's like, yeah, so you get your ass kicked. It's God's fault because he didn't protect you. Like, but you the one that put yourself in that arena. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. God was winning when he was knocking people out and praising God. Thank you, God, for the supreme ability to hurt people.
Wow.
That's pretty much what it is.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This story is just so asinine. It's just really crazy.
Yeah. Well, what makes it worse is his aides, I guess there was a photographer, you know, taking pictures of Manny Pacquiao knocked the fuck out. So they look at him, they jump off the apron and went after the rope and jumped on the photographer. Because he was shooting photos.
Like jumped on him, like coming off the top rope type of jump on him?
Yeah. Yeah, and his manager, Kantz, had the nerve to say, well, see, it was not an assault. It was just a misunderstanding in the heat of the moment.
There ain't no misunderstanding.
Right.
There ain't no misunderstanding. You trying to, you know, protect your, what do you call it, the hand that feeds you by making sure there ain't no pictures get out, but.
Well.
Yeah.
Everybody is watching.
Everybody looking at it. Everybody, I mean, right. I know it was more than just that one photographer there.
They
so.
Gonna knock out everybody at ESPN for showing the highlights on ESPN all night.
I mean, can you imagine, like, they're playing a little music for ESPN, and then they start reporting, then one of his people come out of nowhere. What? Knocking people out.
Well,
don't report on that.
but the thing is, these the same dudes. They weren't doing that when Pacquiao was knocking dudes out.
Exactly.
Hey, that's uncool. Like, yeah, celebration, bitches.
Oh my goodness!
Now, and I'm like, really? You don't need protection when you're knocked the fuck out.
Nah, cause you already down.
Yeah, I mean, there ain't no protection from the cameraman. If they wanted to protect him, they should have caught Marquez before that last one. That's what we need to catch.
And you've been like, no, it's so much.
Hey, the free ride, that gravy train is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the end here.
Right.
And what makes it worse is him and Floyd. I bet they both feel stupid now. I know Floyd's going to come out, oh, yeah, I would have beat him, you see, blah, blah, blah. But you wouldn't have made $100 million between the two of y'all for a fight.
Now, Floyd, now, to be honest with you, now Floyd don't want to fight him because now it seems like, okay, well, somebody else knocked him out, so I think I can do it now. Come on. Oh, we all know Floyd's personality, his attitude and all of that. And he just knows he's the baddest thing on earth. So what other reason would he have had not to fight Pacquiao other than the fact that he thought he was going to get his ass kicked?
Well, whatever they want, whatever, however they want to call it, there ain't no real interest in it now.
Right.
Like, yeah. The bloom is off.
Right.
Ain't, I mean, that's a lot of money they both threw down. Mm-hmm. So now Floyd, instead of 50, 60 you could have made by fighting Pacquiao, now you're going to get 10 to 20. Not that that's bad, but, I mean, money is money. And since your name is money, you thought that you'd have took the biggest fight.
Right.
But whatever's clever. I mean, and I don't even know if he's going, I mean, who can he fight that the public is like, yeah, I got to see this.
I don't know.
Yeah, they talking about him fighting this dude, Robert the Ghost Guerrero. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of people not going to want to see that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they talking about him fighting Blake Griffin's little brother, Canelo Alvarez.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen Canelo Alvarez, but him and Blake Griffin are like brothers. They're like two albino.
One okay.
Albino Mexican. The other one's albino black man.
No. No.
They both have freckles. It's interesting.
I'm going to Google them now just so I can see it.
Yeah, well, when you see Canelo Alvarez and Blake Griffin, you look at their pictures side by side, you're like, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they are not far off. Anyway.
I don't know. I know this is a crazy question, but it may not have anything to do with what we're talking about, but you said albino, and it kind of puts, like, the whole racism thing in perspective. It's like, what if you're a white person who comes out as an albino and a black person that comes out as an albino? What do y'all do then? Like, do y'all still call each other nigga and cracker? Like,
well, I don't. Can a white person be an albino?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. I don't know. I'd have never thought of it.
So I'm just kind of wondering, like, how would that work out?
I don't know. You probably have to ask them, because I'm sure the rest of us ain't even thinking about it.
Okay. Anyway, that was just something I was wondering about. You know.
Hey, you just put it out there anyway. It don't matter.
I'm gonna Google it. Maybe, you know, since in all of the mix of crazy studies out there, maybe somebody did a study about this.
Well. I'm not talking about studies here, but I'm about to break your heart.
Okay.
So, are you sitting down? You ready?
Yes, I'm sitting.
My favorite tennis player, because his name rhymes with Chokovich, Novak Djokovic. He's buying the world's entire supply of donkey cheese.
Oh, Lord, no.
Yeah.
All the donkey cheese?
All the donkey cheese.
Now, this is some bullshit. Fuck the physical cliff. The physical cliff. Fuck the health care, the Obamacare. We need to be finding out what the fuck he doing with all his donkey cheese. Because he don't need, that's too much donkey cheese for one person.
Yeah, he the cheese is known as poulet. It's white, crumbly, and made from donkey's milk. It runs for over $500 per pound.
And he buys the whole world supply of donkey poop.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He purchased the farm, entire year supply. He's like, I got to have it. Further fueling that stereotype that white people love cheese.
Here we go with that shit again. I'm not white and I love cheese, so what the hell does that do to the damn stereotype?
No, just, it's been said that white people love cheese. They can just eat cheese by itself. Not on a burger, just, hey, let me eat a piece of cheese.
I do too.
Okay. But I don't think that you're buying the whole supply. You're not buying a farm supply of cheese no time soon.
No time soon. Probably not.
Yeah, see, that's devotion right there. I'm going to buy the whole year's supply.
Wow.
And it's $500 per pound.
That must be some good damn cheese. I'm going to write him and see if he'll put some on a cracker and share it with me. Anyway.
that would probably be unhygienic, but whatever. You go ahead. You let me know how that turns out.
Oh, my goodness.
In the meantime, on that note, we got to go on break because I can't. Now you got me thinking of cheese and crackers. This is Little Brother. Slow it down.
Hey, old man shit right here.
Like Kmart, hey boo, baby, what's your name? Please pull up a seat, I'm so glad you came. My mother called me Thomas, you can do the same. Damn, it's so refreshing when you call it out my name. Been poop for so long, it doesn't sound the same. My occupation rapping, I make a little change. I see you not impressed with what this life brings. Finish school, got a job, girl, do your thing. It's a lot of independent women wanna be claimed. Marrying the money, you're marrying the fame. Or at least give birth to a check. In the name of life, who says we gotta do the walls all day and all night? It's like,
if love is not enough.
And promise to have you home for the lights go out. Steady asking you questions, what your life about? Oh, with me, mine's everything I strive about. No doubt, it's my life and dedicated to this right and sacrificing everything for it. Wasting time I came to for it. So if it ain't you, then you know I'm cooped up to record. I scooped you up in my poor sight. You know I got a lease on that I'm still paying for, still got a lease on. But it don't matter, cause that ain't my aim to get you. I got fame, but you know that just ain't the issue. Because you're looking like a woman of virtue, so well-rounded, no wonder you in my circle. And normally you probably wouldn't give me the time of day, cause they got rhymes, but no, we ain't got time to waste. Let's do it now, darling.
Love is not enough, we don't have to rush.
Trying to tell a woman just exactly where I stand at. I want a girl when I want a girl. And when I don't want a girl, I want a girl who understands that. And that's some hard shit to explain to a woman that's in love with you. What's a pitiful thing? Until I had to figure that I don't want to play around, but I don't want to settle down. And that's a man's dilemma, because every man remembers how daddy and his uncle did it. Because more than likely, that's the way they gonna do it. I know it sound fucked up and most won't admit it, but yo, I gotta face it, cause I know I'm living through it. Cause when the party stops, the niggas get old, and the chain and the cars and the houses get sold, and the
side of the bed get cold. You don't wanna be alone, so girl, I'm trying to hold you.
Love is not enough.
All right, good people, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. Esther Inwood. I'm in 100% clean of the little people, and that was Little Brother, Slow It Down.
Yeah, slow it down just a little bit. So you can get to Frankie's Sports Bar and Grill. What's going down to Frankie's Sports Bar and Grill? They welcome pot smoking in the bar. So you know it's going to be on and popping there. He's about to get rich.
Yeah, he's like walking around singing like, I'm in the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, he says he's not acting out of love of cannabis. He said he ain't smoked since the 70s. He's just looking for new sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, he said he's about to lose his business, so how can I get people in here? Hey, you can come in here and smoke. And
smoke,
you know,
dope.
Right. You know, they're going to smoke, and then they're going to want to eat.
Wow.
Yeah. And you think about it. What's going to be funny is he's not only going to get like your habitual weed smokers, but he's also going to get them folks that just want to catch a contact. They too cheap to buy their own weed, so they just get the contact in the bar.
Not the sack chaser. You mean to tell me he going to let the sack chasers come in too?
Hey, they buying french fries.
Wow. This is a crazy story because it's like as soon as they announced that the law had passed in Washington, everybody like, hell yeah, you know, like, I'm moving, I'm out of here, bitches. You know, and then they was like, yeah, don't light up too fast, you know, blah, blah, blah. People were worse than like, fuck you. Like, they was out on the streets waiting to see if the shit was going to pass. And as soon as it passed, the motherfuckers lit up right then and there. Come on now.
Yeah, my homies from Moms of Marijuana, that's all, it was like, yeah, light that shit, smoke that. That was my...
It passed that shit. I think it's funny as hell, though, just the fact that we even have to pass laws to say that we can smoke something that's natural. But anyway.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. The fact that you can tell me what the hell I can do.
Right.
Which is my point. I'm like, so you telling me, I mean, because I don't smoke, it don't matter. But the fact that I can't do it because you say I can't do it is the shit that gets on my nerve.
Right.
I'm like, how you going to tell me I can't do it?
And it's crazy to me that because the marijuana is unpredictable. That shit will grow. It'll just start sprouting up any damn where. And the fact that you say, oh, well, you can't plant it, you can't grow it. Okay, but then if it just starts to grow... For whatever reason, you're going to take me to jail because the shit is naturally growing out of the ground and I had nothing to fucking do with it? Like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, your ass is going to jail. That's what it is.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, but the goal is they come and dig the shit up and they put it somewhere. Come on now. They have their own little secret labs and all that shit where they growing hydro.
So what you trying to say?
I ain't trying to say shit. I'm saying those motherfuckers getting higher than we are.
Are they getting higher than Rick Ross?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something about that.
Well,
I think he was born high. Seriously, because of the shit that he does and says and all of that. And this so-called gangster persona that he has going on. And it's just crazy. Just tell the people about this asinine story.
I mean, he had to cancel a tour because Chicago-based gangster group, well, gang, the Gangster Disciples, they demanded that, hey, if he going to be mentioning us and our founder, Larry Hoover, in his song,
right,
then you need to pay us.
Right.
I mean, it's bad enough he took Rick Ross, because for those of you who don't know, Rick Ross is not his real name.
Of course.
He took Freeway Ricky Ross's name so that he can be gang. And for me, that is some of the biggest bitch shit that I have ever seen in my life. How are you going to take somebody else's name and like, yeah, I'm hard because I took somebody's name who is hard? I mean, does that make sense?
No.
Right.
Well, it makes sense if you're not who you really say you are and you want to make some money. Like, remember the movie CB4? That's kind of what this reminds me of. It's like, you just a cool dude. You all right. You from, you know, a suburb or somewhere. You had a good upbringing. But you want to make some money, so what do? You take the personality of a real gangster and you start rapping about that person's life as if it's your own. So, I mean, that's what kind of is it to me. This is like you always like talk about buffoonery. To me, this is a grand definition or representation of buffoonery to me.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean, I just feel like, you know, when he came out with a Versace tie like 7 years ago and Versace make ties, I felt like then he was fake.
I don't know a Versace tie. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was like posing on the cover of a magazine in a Versace, not a Versace tie, a Louis Vuitton tie. Louis Vuitton don't make ties, so it's like... Yeah, Louis Vuitton is, you know, the indestructible leather people that make bags and all. They don't make ties, neckties. And he came out posing in this Louis, you know, and it was like everybody had something to say about it, but they quickly forgot once he started taking on this really real, like before he wasn't as supposedly hardcore as he is now. And he came out even harder after that, supposedly. And everybody forgot about that shit, but I didn't. It's like, once you come across as fake, you're going to forever be fake until the real you come out. Like, I don't see nothing wrong with being a smart businessman that know how to put together a record company. What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, the whole point is because... people love fake now. So when you're the hardest of the fake or the fakest of the fake, I guess it just comes off as more authentic. I don't know how you can be authentic and fake at the same time, but he does it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, you know, you get what you ask for, brother.
I mean, but they say they want their money. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Really, I don't care. But then again, I do, because it's like here you have a platform to, you know, capture people's attention, and, you know, you could really do something seriously important with that. But you choose to represent something that's, you know, not real, and then the people that actually do live that type of lifestyle or have lived that type of lifestyle, they're either dead or in jail, or they're not willing to fucking talk about it because it's nothing, it's not anything to glorify. So you're making money off of something that is ridiculous to me.
Well, I mean, but you know, that's the gangster rap. You know, these dudes, everybody's gangster. Everybody shot a million people. It's just one of those. I mean, somebody's buying it. I've never, never listened to a Rick Ross song. So, I mean, I can tell you, well, I'm saying never. When I've heard, like, a half of a song was like...
Because sometimes you have no control over what comes on the radio unless you just keep changing shit back and forth or you put your Pandora on. But, you know, I know what you think. I
never listen to the radio. AM radio, FM radio, make my penis bleed.
Wait, I don't want to hear that. No.
I'm just saying.
But anyway, I just feel like Ricky Rose or Walter, whatever you're, what's his name? I forgot. Anyway,
I don't know.
Somebody just second. I just think that he's a smart guy, and he's a good businessman. And he needs to just do that and not be this gangster stuff, this all of that. Just stop. Just be who you are and be happy with who you are. How about that?
He's being who he is. He's a fake gangster. Anyway, speaking of...
You said they ended on a positive note, and you get to go with the bullshit.
Hey, that's what it is. Anyway, there was a tennis player, Caroline Wozniacki, or whatever the hell her name is. She
Yes,
during a tennis match, she decided to stuff her chest and her shorts with padding, and came out to the court.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did she do that with Serena there?
No, Serena wasn't there.
Because we know Serena. Like, ain't Serena from, like, Compton?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because that ass would have been me. I'm sorry.
Well, I look at it a little differently. I mean, it's like, yeah, I've got ass and I've got titties and you don't.
I mean, let's face it, Serena is a fucking brick house. What woman wouldn't want to be built like that?
Yeah,
she's bad and she chocolate at the same time, you know what I'm saying? And pretty with her. So, like, you making fun? Are you trying to be funny, or are you really saying deep down inside, I'm unhappy with what I look like and this is what I want to look like?
Well, all I know is that what's etched in my mind is every time Serena wore the cat suit, that was enough for me right there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a woman. I'm all woman. You know what I'm saying? And I'll never have a problem with saying another sister or, you know, another woman look good. Listen, I give credit and I give props where it's due. And that's a bad girl right there. So... I don't think it was really making fun of her. I think it was she was wishing that she had it like that.
Well, and I look at it like this. One, the fact that we talking about her and I can't pronounce her name and don't care to learn it is all you need to know about her.
True. Kill the feed.
Yeah, she ain't worth talking about. But thank you, Caroline. You got your 2 minutes of fame. And now you can take your flat-chested ass back to Kansas or wherever the hell you come from.
He's so stupid.
Just saying.
Next story.
Don't talk about the big booty woman. Like, big booty is bad. I'm like, and that's what kills me. I just got to say, it kills me. They like, oh, her ass is too big. Her titties, really? I'm thinking you and 12 other people think that. The rest of us normal people, we ain't hearing none of that BS you talking.
Yeah.
And
it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. Yes, I am the king of the ass admirers. Unfortunately, you was talking about chocolate. Rhonda Lee, who was a meteorologist, had a job in Shreveport, Louisiana, taken away from her because she responded to a racial remark that was posted on the station's Facebook page regarding her hair.
Uh-huh.
Now, she wears her hair naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people called blogger, whatever, like, yeah, you know, your hair, it's not professional. Do you have cancer? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no.
Well, I actually have what she said. And I don't think what she said, even if there was a policy, because supposedly they told her that she violated a policy that isn't written down. Can you say fucking lawsuit? Anyway, but what she said was that she's proud of it. She educated the person on black hair, and she feels comfortable with wearing her hair that way. And she, for a reason, because she thinks that people should feel comfortable in their own skin. And she said, no, I don't have cancer. I'm very healthy. And she said, thank you for your comments and have a great weekend. And thanks for watching. And I don't understand how that constitutes firing somebody because you reply. Now, here's my thing. There's a very heavy set white woman who's a meteorologist as well, and a blogger was saying very, very nasty things about this woman, and she went on television on a rant. And when I say rant, she did everything but cuss this person out, and she was irate over the comments that were being said about her weight, and she didn't get fired. So what's really going on here? It's okay if you're a fat, blonde-haired white lady, but if you're a black woman who's proud of her ethnicity, you get fired for saying so?
Pretty much, yeah. That's it. Like, something's changed.
Nothing's changed. The struggle still continues.
Well, some folks don't see things as a struggle. For me, it was real obvious what that was, you know. I mean, because she made the show more popular.
She's
getting great ratings.
Yeah. And I mean, there's really no more that can be said about it from my standpoint, because if you fire a person for being genuine, and she could have just flipped out. And which is probably, you know, which is what the stereotype of black women is anyway. When we're confronted with something that we don't like, we go off and go crazy. But she did the total opposite and actually thanked the person for comments, because she realizes, okay, you're obviously watching, so I appreciate that you're watching, because you're making me famous by watching and even commenting on me. So, thank you. I appreciate it. And she was fired. So, I mean, I think I'm more angry than she is.
Yeah. And as far as fired and all that other stuff, well, it basically comes down to Your name not Kunta, your name Toby.
Wow.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not too much else you can say on that. As a matter of fact, we just gonna go on break. What we gonna go on break with? I gotta think about that for a second. No, I don't. This is Diggable Planets, where I'm from. And if you don't know where I'm from, it don't matter. They gonna tell you where they from.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. S, the N-word. I'm Miss 100% Queen of the Little People, and that was Diggable Planet, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of where I'm from, if I was from Hostess, if I was one of them workers, and I'd have found out that they diverted my pension money for other company uses, and they then came out and said they don't know how much money was taken. Yeah. Just out there. Now,
you know how much, my motherfucker. You know exactly how much was taken.
Exactly, because I mean, if you knew enough to go to a judge to get them to approve a plan to pay you $1.8 million in bonuses to 19 executives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, he declined to take a bonus, the CEO, Gregory Rayburn, but he also avoided a company-wide pay cut that he imposed. So, yeah, I don't take the pay cut, which is millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
but I won't take that bonus. But you're going to make it up in salary. This is what I'm talking about, man. See, what's wrong with people? What is wrong?
You know, there's a company here in Ohio that is called NCR, which is National Cash Register. And you might have heard of it. It was taken over by AT&T back in the early 90s. And AT&T took the company over for about 30 days. And when they took the company over, everybody that was a certain age got fired. They called it early retirement, but they were fired. And their life insurance policies, their pensions, all of that was reduced by half immediately. 30 days later, NCR bought the company back and flourished until about 2004, 2005, and then they sold it again to AT&T. And to me, this is supreme fuckery, because it's like you are willingly exchanging, allowing your company to exchange hands just so that you can get rid of people and take away their pensions. And a person that was very, very, has since passed away, that was very, very close to me, was working at NCR at the time of the AT&T takeover and lost damn near everything. At the same time, got deathly ill. And when that person passed away, they didn't even inform this person that the insurance policy, the life insurance policy that they paid for all of their employees that was reduced by half, had been completely done away with when AT&T took over again. So this person died and was thinking that everything was secure, and the family was thinking everything was secure, and there was nothing. Right. So I can understand what these people are doing to the workers. I can see it. I've seen it firsthand. And it's a bunch of bullshit. You're playing God with a bunch of people's lives, and you deserve death. That's what you deserve. Like, I would be on the top of a building shooting motherfuckers right now. Like, I don't know if I could handle that. Like, I've worked for you.
Right.
I sweat for you and made you money, and you want to take away my nest egg?
Well, I guess all them places that you apply to, if they listening, you're probably not going to get that job.
Oh, I haven't applied to any places. I'm a boss bitch.
Well, speaking of boss bitches, the political fight is on today, the right to work legislation passed in Michigan. And the right to work legislation requires it will make requiring financial support of a union as a condition of employment illegal.
Repeat that now.
Well,
I want to see if I heard you correctly. Like,
yeah, you know how you get a union job.
Uh-huh.
You have to pay dues.
Uh-huh.
No more of that shit. They are out to break unions once and for all.
Wow.
Now, there are some people who will like, oh, yeah, well, unions and union dues, and they do political donations, whatnot. And I don't agree with the political donations, but as far as unions go, I support unions. People coming together to fight against corporations, that's never a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of on both sides. I'm kind of on the fence about this one because I worked for the big dog called GM for a long time, and I supported unions, but I saw what they did with our union dues, and I saw how our union buckled and folded and was, you know, the I guess it's a saying, they were in the bed with each other, and they were basically taking our money but still bending over to the corporation, and that is how a lot of people lost their jobs. And people don't know that, but that's what it was, along with the union allowing the corporation to make quotes and when they go out for make bids for jobs, they can say this machine can run 8,000 parts per shift, when in essence this machine can't even run 8,000 parts per day per 24-hour period. They violated the fair day pay thing, was making us work 30 days with no, you know, 30 days, 16-hour shifts, no days off, all of that different kind of stuff. It was just really crazy doing things like you have to work 120 days before you get your time in. They were laying people off at 129 days, waiting 30 days, and then bringing them back, let them work 129 days, lay them off, bring them back. They played with a lot of people's lives.
Right, well,
and union allowed them to do that. So,
but you see, the point is, a union, a strong union, would not have allowed that.
And see, that's why I was saying I was on the fence, because,
right.
Yeah, I was.
And see, because you're talking about something that was a corrupted individual. Now, you have a non-corrupted individual, a group of individuals who don't allow that type of stuff to happen.
Right.
Unions are good, because you can't fight a corporation by yourself.
You cannot.
It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're outgunned. But, you know, they're on that grind to break the unions once and for all. And speaking of breaking the unions, we haven't really talked about this Jevon Belcher suicide, and now come this past weekend, Josh Brent, during a drunken drive escapade,
mm-hmm.
killed his own best friend, Jerry Brown of the Cowboys. Now, I know for me, the Jevon Belcher suicide was first one of the most horrific things that I had heard in a long time. You know, there's arguing, and then you get to that point where you have to kill somebody. It's just, I've never understood an argument that would make me want to kill somebody.
Yeah. Well, first off, it was something about this story that, to me, rang bullshit. It's just, to me, it just, the the word bullshit just kept resonating in my brain over for the simple fact that Javon Belcher was a known offender. He had past relationships where he abused his women, and he was abusing her, and she left, and he killed her because she left, and then he killed himself. And a lot of the comments, I can understand that this is somebody's son, and it's a very sad situation, but let's call domestic violence what it is. And I think that it's wrong for the news media to basically, because he was, you know, a football player and, you know, he made a lot of money, and they basically focused on him, but they didn't really say much about what he did to this woman who he say he loved. They made a comment that he killed her because he loved her. What kind of bullshit is that?
That's the society we live in where these guys romanticize. I mean, they talk, oh, we won the game for him. I'm like, yeah, he doesn't deserve anything done for him. His memory should be spit on. I'm sorry. He murdered a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then took the punk way out, killed himself, and left the daughter without any parents.
And I mean,
see, that's, to me, that's the definition of a coward.
A bitch assness.
Yes, that, and people gonna say I'm disparaging the dead, but I'm sorry, it's a cowardly way to go out. I mean, you murder the mother because y'all have a disagreement. Murder yourself. Your kid is the one that's suffering. The kid don't have parents.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get past that. And they find out, my daddy killed my mama. How's that child going to grow up and be normal?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. And with the Josh Grant and Jerry Brown situation, I agree that he ought to have something happen to him because he took the responsibility of being drunk and getting behind the wheel of a car and he killed a person, okay? I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that he shouldn't be held responsible, but I want to see happen or start to happen is that people start taking responsibility for their own lives because you have the responsibility of getting in the car with a person who is that drunk that they can't even steer a car. Like, that's not one or two beers. That's drunk as hell when you kill a person. And you two are out drinking together. So I've been drunk off of my ass, but I have always understood that I'm drunk. So
if you are drunk,
jump into a car behind the wheel of a car, and you don't jump into a car with a person that's drunk like that, and it's like, it's a story.
Well,
but when are we going to start saying that people ought to start taking responsibility?
I think they both were drunk, and two, I mean, obviously, is another horrible thing that's out there, that he's drunk, he kills his friend, he's out. I mean, is he going to do time, or is he too valuable to the Cowboys? He's going to be to do whatever, whenever, however. Because normally, if you can play ball, you can kill people and get away with it.
Exactly. If you're rich, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking about just playing ball.
No,
but Miss 100%, the queen of the little people, I am Mr. F the N-word, and y'all know who we are. We're smooth drama going hard in the paint. No finger rolls, no jump shots. What we giving them?
Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got
smooth
drama. Smooth.